Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is genuinely one of my very favorite places online to buy indie TTRPGs. They have a fantastic selection from some of my favorite designers and excellent customer service. And as part of their sponsorship of this season of Perils and Princesses, they are generously offering one of the biggest discounts they have ever offered. 15% off Perils and Princesses, the adventure module Sweet Revenge, or any other game in their store if you use our exclusive promo code PERIL15. That's PERIL15 to get 15% off. But not only are you going to get 15% off, you'll be letting the fine folks at Tabletop Bookshelf know that we were the ones who sent you there. And this is incredibly important. It lets Tabletop Bookshelf know that their investment in us and in actual play is a worthwhile one. It helps them grow their business and also helps us approach more sponsors in the future so we can continue making My First Dungeon better each and every season. So go to tabletopbookshelf.com, use code PERIL15 and get 15% off your next favorite game. And with that, enjoy the show. In the misty hollow in front of a crystal clear lake reflecting would-be starlight, you pick up a red rotary phone, dial zero, and you see the starlight purple gown begin to inflate like a massive cashmere balloon as your fairy godmother is slowly pulled through the receiver into existence, barrel and all, and lands with a satisfied thump at the edge of the ever-lost lake.
Ladies! We gotta stop starting episodes this way.
Standing ovation.
Never change, Flo.
You all see Flo still balancing atop her barrel at the edge of the Everlost Lake. She looks over you guys and goes,
"Whoa, you guys all look, I don't want to say bad, but rough. You look road wearied."
I mean, that's a bit harsh. We slept in the woods the past couple of nights, but it gives us a sort of rugged appeal, no?
Yeah, we straight up almost murdered some rats. I'm sorry, we don't all just have like a barrel that we could be on after we like saved a whole town. But you know,
would you like a barrel?
She snaps her fingers. All of you are now standing on top of barrels.
Oh no! God. Adelaide immediately falls.
She looks around and goes,
"Oh, hey, you made it to the Everlost Lake. This is great. Everything go well so far? You know, quest and everything?"
"Yeah, we got the rat king's tail and helps the pixies out. You know, they can use those tunnels again now."
"Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. What can I do for you?"
"We need clothes."
"Yeah, I'd say that."
"Yeah, apparently we look road weary."
"Yeah, that's the word round town."
Yeah.
There is a slight aroma as well. I'm not gonna lie.
Adelaide does like smell her pits.
Yeah. Amira smells herself, smells Matt. It's not Matt.
Matt smells great.
I smell like outside, so I feel fine about all of this.
Right.
I'm on all fours, balancing on the barrel. So we have to go to the ball, but we don't know the theme, and we need clothes to match the theme. So we need two things, please. I'm doing my best to, like, dig my nails into this barrel to help myself balance, but that's not what you should do when you're trying to balance on a barrel, so I look a mess.
You guys just see, Winnie is just kind of, like, clawed into it and is just slowly tilting forward. just holding onto it.
I imagine you would only look more menacing as you're, like, slowly.
Right.
Thing.
Yep.
Fairy Godmother looks at you and goes, oh, you want the bippity-boppity blue light special, huh?
I think the time's come.
Well, I gotta be honest, there's nothing more classic than dressing you up for a ball. Do you know the theme?
Oh, no, we need you to tell us the theme, Flo, please. You can divine that, right?
Ooh. Well, see, I was actually banned from the Eternal Ball due to some misunderstandings, I would say. And
no.
I've gotta finish. Well, until I finish this bet with the barrel, I'm not allowed back in.
You still have, what was it, years?
Just like 2 years.
Years to go.
Just 2 years.
What was the theme the last time you went to the ball?
Oh, last time? Disco.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they usually based on things like that, or is it sometimes esoteric where it'll be like, the theme is camp or something like that, where it's like, well, what does that mean?
I'll be honest, they did camp so early, like before camp was camp.
So no one got it.
Yeah. So no one got it, and it was kind of a bummer. The Earl King was a bit bummed. But no, it's usually something a little more concrete, like, you know, Under the Sea, or, you know, stuff like that. Knights of the Round Table.
Mm.
Here's the key. I can't get into the Eternal Ball, but if we can get to the entrance, Elvar is the guy, he's the doorman, the maitre d', not the maitre d', the doorman, the bouncer. Looks can be deceiving with this guy. You think you could just get around him. You can't get around Elvar. No one's gotten around Elvar. I haven't gotten around Elvar, but he's usually given like a little hint towards the theme, kind of in the way that he dresses. So if we go there, we can kind of get a little glance at it, and then bibbidi bobbidi boo, I make you beautiful.
Is there any chance the theme is road weary?
Listen, I'll be honest. They've been doing this for a long time. They might be running out of themes.
You run out of themes.
Well,
all right. I guess we could go see if Elvar can help us.
Yeah, and maybe if we're lucky, the theme will be something that involves sticks in hair and 2-day stench.
Yeah. Lots of themes could fit that.
Yeah.
You want to make a bet on it?
With you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're busy right now, but, like, we got to have a talk about this.
I'll give you some good odds. I'll give you good odds.
What kind of odds?
I don't know. 4-1.
What does that mean?
I don't really know. It's just something I said. Okay, listen. Let's go to the Eternal Ball. The key thing here is we got to get close to find out what the theme is, but Elvar can't really see you because it's kind of a first impressions type thing. They stick with Elvar.
Oh, dear. Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So stealth is key. Maybe we shouldn't barrel in. Literally.
Well, we've still got that pixie potion, right? Maybe if someone wants to, like, drone on over and do some sky reconnaissance.
Wait, someone should take the baddie potion.
Oh. We could all just be baddies.
Could be baddies.
That's never not the theme.
What if that's the theme?
That's never not the theme. Done. Solution has shipped.
No, that's good.
Yeah, no one's ever going to reject just a team of baddies.
4 baddies? And their fairy godmother?
That feels genius.
You do have a flight of bad boy, bad girl, baddie, and bad pet potions from Roxy.
Ooh.
You pull them out real quick. They're not really labeled, and they have a questionable look to them, but...
Questionable?
You know, they were on a shelf labeled bad boy, bad girl, baddie, bad pet potions.
This can't go wrong.
Even if they're vintage baddie, that circles back around to be cool again.
Yeah, I mean, if they did disco last year.
Right? Yeah.
So yeah, Adelaide is just going to take one of the potions, pops the top off of it, gives it like a smell, and looks around for, I guess, the most bedraggled flower she can find.
Ooh.
Takes a little bit of the potion, just like a drop, and drops it on the flower to see what it does, if it has any effect.
Oh!
You do a little drop on this flower. It's kind of like a sun-starved daisy. Mm. So it was maybe once beautiful, but it's just been covered in this, you know, eternal night kind of in the forest. You whoop, drip a little drop on it. It immediately sizzles, and the center of the flower kind of like bubbles and hisses for a second.
Oh, God.
And then you see a flash of light, and the daisy turns to a black rose with thorns all up the side of it.
Oh.
Does it have a booty? Does it have...
Great question.
Important question, Brian. Does
that
the flower have a
flower
BBL?
Does it have a BBL? Has a badonk.
This is... The flower is thick. Okay.
It's just one leaf that is on the back of the stem that is just...
Oh, she thick.
Round it out.
Oh,
okay.
That's really tempting.
The fairy godmother looks like goes, damn, that's a hot flower.
I don't know. Do we want to chance it? Do we want to sneak up on Elvar?
Do we want to be baddies sneaking up on Elvar?
As you say that, Amir has already finished the bad boy potion. What?
The whole thing?
This is the way. This is the way, Amira. This is the way.
Okay. Amira, go ahead and roll me a wits test.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I believe in you. I believe in you.
I believe you. Come on, Amira.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's what I'm going to tell you. On a success, you will have advantage on all wits tests. While in the Eternal Ball.
Okay.
On a failure, you will have disadvantage on all wits test while at the Eternal Ball.
Okay. Do I get to change in any way?
We'll find out.
It's just you, but you're wittier.
So brave.
So brave.
So Brian, do I get advantage on that roll for being bold?
No.
No, fair enough. I rolled a nat 20.
No. Oh, God.
So we can't even heart dice you there.
I really thought that we'd gotten all your bad rolls out, buddy. I'm so sorry.
No.
I'm so sorry, sweetie.
I rolled real well last time, so you know what? This makes sense.
He's like, you were due.
It was time. It was your time.
So, Mira, mechanically, you will have disadvantage on your wits
tests cool.
while in the Eternal Ball. Why don't you tell me what happens to Amira as you down the bad boy potion?
As I down the bad boy potion, Amira's kind of like a Cinderella-esque vibe of like sparkles and like shining and shimmering, and like you see like they get kind of like Sailor Moon enveloped in like light in a way.
Oh, my God,
oh yeah,
yes.
Magical girl transformation, 100%.
Yep.
Makeup looks on point, like the eyeshadow's sick, and they're wearing like a like Jadena-esque suit. Classic man vibes, but like high femme in a suit.
Damn.
Looking bad boy as hell.
Damn.
The cheekbones are popping.
The cheekbones are popping.
Damn.
They look as though I imagine they have just been coated in like you are, the cheekbones glow with moon dust from within. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, moon dust cheekbones.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Moon dust
sunken
cheekbones.
Moon dust.
Yeah. Moon dust eyeshadow. It's looking good.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of imagining not the look, but just the confidence of Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. That's a vibe.
Confident, but should not be because my wits are bad.
That's how you get confident, baby.
And that's how you get the confidence, yo. That's called a lack of caring.
There you go.
Amira, how does that lack of wits, that disadvantage of wits, appear as you have this like magical girl transformation in this badass suit with everything you have?
I like have like, you know, those like long, like those cigarette holders, like those like cool, fancy cigarette holders. What's it called?
Yeah.
It's like a vape type vibe thing. And I'm just hitting it.
Oh.
And I look at Matt and go, sup, toots.
Matt just goes, just shaking his head.
All right. Calm down. Calm down, Matt.
He'll come around.
You know who you're with, Matt.
Yeah. And I go over to Matt and I smack his butt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's nice.
Not weird at all.
That's the stuff.
Not weird.
No.
We're right on the edge.
No, it's fine. It's fine because he's a man. He's a man.
He's a man in a horse's body.
No, this shit is still wild. It's so good.
I take a hit of my little vape thing and I'm like, don't worry, me and Matt, we are in an open relationship. He does things with horses. I do things with humans. It's a very modern and advanced.
Thank you for clarifying that now, no. I guess.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
When you get the answer to unasked questions.
Did nobody ask? I thought someone asked.
No one asked.
No, not even
no,
a little.
No, not really.
Well, I thought you all wanted to know a little about me. Whatever. I'm a bad boy now.
I'm a bad boy.
I just give you my opinions. You don't have to ask.
I'm an expert on everything.
So all of you see this transformation happen with Amira.
This sucks.
Looking like a bad boy. Looking like a bad boy, but seems a little overly confident. You see there's maybe a gray lighting to this silver cloud. Adelaide, Winnie, and Geraldine, do you want to take any of the potions, or are you guys going to dive into the Everlost Lake to the Eternal Ball unchanged?
I think Adelaide has been called kind of ratchet and bedraggled enough today. So Adelaide is going to drink, not all of it, because Adelaide wants to wait, like make sure that everybody, we don't know what the dosing is on these things.
Oh, you're right. I fucked up.
Yeah, so Adelaide's going to take like a swallow, but leave enough for Geraldine and Winnie in case they want in on any of the baddie potion.
Yeah, I think Geraldine is taking a little bit of Maddie as well.
Winnie thinks there's something wrong with all of them consistently. That's like my factual setting is what's wrong with my siblings every day. No, I'm going to wait until I get in front of Elvar so I can make a tactical decision on what I should be doing next. The pendulum swings multiple ways. I'm on one end and Amira's on the other, and then Madeline and Geraldine are somewhere in the middle.
tactics. All right.
We're going with light baddie. We didn't down the whole thing. So
Baddie light.
Baddie light.
Yeah.
It's the drink you drink in college.
That case of baddie light, 30 for $20.
Oh, God.
When any drink is less than $1 for a unit of it, it's probably not worth it.
You're like, that's not going to end well.
Adelaide and Jodine, can you both also make me wits tests? On a success, you will have advantage on your wits tests for the remainder of the evening. On a fail, you have disadvantage for the remainder of the evening.
Oh, thank God.
I didn't make it.
My wits are 12. I rolled a 9.
Oh, at least one of us made it. Jesus.
Mine are also excellent. 12. I rolled a 15, though.
I can give you a heart dice, Abby.
Yeah, Amira, how do you help? Go and roll that heart dice. Tell me what you do to
Geraldine's not assistance. Up on the lingo and is like, she's a little unclear what baddie really means.
Yeah.
And so you help her adjust in her clothes.
Well, I don't think I don't. Okay. Do I help first or do I roll first?
Roll first.
Okay.
So rolling a d4 and you're subtracting this. So Abby, what did you roll?
I rolled a 15 and my wits is 12.
Okay. Oh, great.
So you gotta roll 3 or higher.
Lovely. I rolled a 2.
Great.
Well, does that count towards a pool? Can I do a heart die on top of that?
I'll let you do it. I'm pretty sure that's part of the rules.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's part of the rules.
It works for me. Listen.
I mean, listen, you guys are burning limited resources. I don't mind.
I know. I'm like, do we want to?
I'm okay with doing it for the plot, honey.
Yeah, Winnie. So Winnie, kind of no matter what you roll, we're going to get there. But go roll that D4 for me.
Oh, yeah. Coming at you strong, honey. That's it's a 1. Thank God for a mirror.
By the skin of our teeth.
Yeah.
Geraldine barely pulls it off.
Geraldine, as you take this potion, explain to me what starts happening. With your transformation, and then Amira and Winnie, tell me how you fix this transformation so that it actually works.
Okay.
So, Jodin, starting with you.
Oh, man. So, Geraldine, she hasn't felt like a baddie, really, in like a lot, or her version of baddies just different these days. Mm-hmm. So she's like, what do the kids think is cool? Like, what do we do? And is thinking about the fact that disco was mentioned and is like, let's lean into the disco of it all. You see her clothes start to transform into like a sequin tracksuit. And her shoes start to turn into like roller skates of like, she's like, roller disco, that's cool, right? The booty is popping though. She got that.
Oh, the booty is thick, honey. It's
she
so
got that.
Look, Geraldine does squats all the time. She's got a booty.
Yeah, she does, honey.
All that parkour.
Winnie and Amira, how are you fixing this train wreck?
I'm looking at Geraldine. I'm like, yeah, you're so old. I take a bottle of rage from Matt's bag, pop it, and just splash it on Geraldine mid-transformation. You're going more gothic now, I think, and it's not any better.
Goth disco. Yeah.
Goth disco grandma.
You are a little angry.
I'm really imagining like 1970s vampire.
Oh,
kind of what I'm seeing right
yeah.
now.
That's daddy.
That's kind of hot, actually. Yep. That's kind of
working for me.
That's pretty daddy. I'm here for that. Yeah.
Winnie, what's the cherry on top that you add to make this, to complete this ensemble?
Yeah, absolutely, because my sisters are a nightmare just consistently. So there's roller skates and disco happening, and I'm still trying to balance myself on this fucking barrel going back and forth, and I'm looking at nonsense. And then my feet start backpedaling in the wrong direction. I come back upright, and then Amira splashes Geraldine with a bottle of rage, and now suddenly there's like this goth situation, and the entire concoction makes zero sense to me whatsoever. At all. Mm-hmm. I don't see a middle way to fix this. She's going to be confused, which means we're going to be confused. But Geraldine is our primary mouthpiece. And we are not walking into this ball without somebody that is grounded on who they need to be. So I think at this point, I'm going to release my front two claws from the barrel and just allow it to roll backwards. And I'm going to bump Geraldine and all of that thickness directly in front of the lake where she can get like a perfect star-lined mirror image of whatever it is she wants to see that will make her feel most confident, regardless of what's actually happening on the outside.
Aww.
Nice. Throw it back on. That's
that.
Awesome.
Wow.
Wow, what a GM as a player move.
What a GM as player.
I love that you went with self-confidence.
Yeah.
That's the real baddiness.
Yeah.
That's the inner baddie.
The baddies were the confidence we made all along.
Along the way.
Along the way. So the constellations that Adelaide don't believe exist do, and I'm able to just coordinate a perfect moment between you, the reflection, and the stars coming down on this lake for you to see what you need to see to get through this.
I feel like Geraldine in the reflection, she gets just like a little peek of her with like the water moving a bit of it's her at whatever age it was that she was like, I'm hot.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels really good about herself as you know, an old lady, but she is an old lady. And she gets a little peek and she's like, oh yeah, I got my swagger back. Okay.
Hey,
let's go.
All I want for Geraldine is for that age to have been like 2 years ago.
2 years ago. It was the last season. Yeah. It was like spring.
Yes.
It was last season off screen.
Yes. And hey, I was looking good.
Geraldine, as you flash out of this, you look over and see Adelaide mid-transformation. Adelaide, what does your magical girl transformation look like as you succeed on this role?
I also think that self-confidence is what your inner baddie is, but Adelaide don't give a shit about none of that stuff. Adelaide already had a booty. The booty does get bigger, and she already had a booty, so it's like, it's almost reaching uncanny valley proportions, but it doesn't like quite get there, but it is definitely like, if it didn't move like water, you might think it was butt shots.
It is a definite double.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is 100% like, oh, they didn't. OK, they come in that size. Oh, that's cool. It's like me when I walk past any full length mirror in a department store and I'm like, oh, that thing just keeps going. That's a joke I'm making with a bunch of people who've never seen me in person and have only seen me do shows where I sit down. I got that thing on me anyway. So
I'm really imagining that scene from The Hobbit where Merry and Pippin are in the bar and one of them comes over and goes, this is a pint.
Yeah,
they come in pints. I'm getting more.
Exactly. And then the hair again is like unbedraggling itself. And so the curls, which had been a little bit improved and like dematted by the pin, are now like fully moisturized, fully popping. She has got that Carol's daughter. She has got that kinky curly, like the curls are going.
Mm-hmm.
She is in what I can only describe as an outfit that one might wear to watch their professional NBA player boyfriend if you're sitting courtside.
Yes.
Why is that such a clear middle image for me?
That's so
vivid.
Holy shit!
Danielle, that's so good.
Wow.
Like trying to look like she didn't try hard, but there's no way you take that long to get in a skirt that tight if you didn't make some effort.
Man. Mm-hmm.
cute crop top. The hair is going. The face is great. She kind of smells like what people say Rihanna smells like, which is a scent that none of us know because we'll never be in the room. But like she kind of also smells like that. And
it's the stuff dreams are made of, kid.
Yeah. Like amazing, right? They're always like, ah, you know, when you've been in an elevator with Rihanna, and I'm like, I would never leave.
Do you?
And then you notice on one of her canines, you do notice that there is like, it is now a jeweled tooth.
Yes.
Rad.
The jewel is like a piece of candy. Like if someone did an emoji of like what a piece of candy looks like, it's like right there, like on her canine tooth. And it shines every time the light hits it.
Bedazzled. Bedazzled canine. Yep.
Yep.
Bedazzled canine. As you guys all come out of this magical transformation, fully transformed into like party attire, or at least party attire of some form. Who knows if it fits the theme, but it's certainly like ready to go to a party.
Mm-hmm. We're ready to boogie.
Fairy Godmother goes, all right, y'all looking hot. Winnie, we're going to get you there. With the clothes. You look good, kid.
The eyebrows might squinch, but I'm just, whatever. I'm not going to argue with you tonight. We got stuff to do.
Listen, I've been on this barrel for 200 years. I get snippy sometimes. I haven't had a good bet in 3 years. It's crazy.
Oof.
We're going to fix that. We're going to come up with something.
Let's get to the ball. Let's try to real quick reconnaissance, see what Elvar's theme is right now. Get you all bippity-boppityed, get you in that party, okay?
Let's do it.
Thanks, Flo.
All right. Everybody, follow me. And she dives barrel first into the lake.
Geraldine's going to leave her barrel on the shore. Just for later.
Fair Godwin's head pops up. All right, little rude, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, wow.
It was a gift. It was a gift.
A little hard to carry around, you know.
I'm just fucking with you. All right, let's go.
GameFound is inviting you to participate in their second RPG party, a curated event designed to help indie TTRPG creators bring their projects to life through crowdfunding. Whether you're working on a zine, a 600-page collection of tomes, or something more esoteric, this is a unique opportunity to move forward with real support, visibility, and expert feedback. Applications will be reviewed by a panel of judges from GameFound and industry partners like Darrington Press, Modiphius Entertainment, Free League Publishing, and Magpie Games. 15 to 25 projects will be selected to receive workshops with industry experts, marketing support, one-on-one mentorship, and a community of fellow designers to grow together. Open call for submissions lasts from May 5th to 26th, and crowdfunding goes live this fall. Let this be the push you need to manifest your game in the physical realm. It's going to be challenging, there's going to be stress, and if you're able to put in the work, it's going to be so incredibly rewarding. Go to gamefound.com/blog for more information and to submit your project today.
This episode was brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes. From romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. I'm a huge fan of post-apocalyptic world building, so I recommend starting with their piece, We Can't Stop Watching the World End, which talks about properties like GLaDLands, Fallout, and Silo, and what they have to say about humanity and our ability to imagine a world after the apocalypse. But any piece on World Builders Club is going to be a great read for those of us who love to imagine better worlds. So join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing at bit.ly/WBC Many-Sided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
You guys dive into the Everlost Lake, and for a moment you think is going to be like a splash or a hit of cold water, instead just opens up around you as the fey presence of the hair clip on Adelaide's hair kind of like expands around you into a bubble that brings you like softly and smoothly down to the bottom of the lake, and almost through a kind of like mirror at the bottom, like you see a moment where it stops. You float back up where you would see the surface of the lake above you, but instead of surfacing where you were, you now pass, while moving vertically, now pass horizontally through a massive standing mirror. And as you emerge, you see fantastical and massive columns that stretch into the sky as if they would house some kind of ceiling, but there is no ceiling above you. They just stretch on into infinity and into like cloud work and into mist as you see the massive gated gilded entrance of the Eternal Ball. There's a line of people stretched there, all in like various costumes and fancy ball attire, but all with wildly different ideas of what they think the theme is.
Oh, good. They're just like us.
They have no idea. They've come like dressed to impress, but clearly don't have an invitation and are just trying to like, you know, get their way in. And at the front, you see a very slight, very like pale, almost blue fairy man, tall, pointy ears, and a blue pencil thin mustache. Outside of that, looks exactly like Stanley Tucci.
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, all right. We see what you're cooking with. Okay.
You see him off in the distance. He has a very like severe look on his face as he is just kind of giving a very curt nod to everyone who approaches. You see like, there's like Under the Sea attire. There's like Knights of the Round Table attire. There's baseball.
A bunch
of different swings, no pun intended. but pun elocuted, baby.
Oh my gosh.
Anyone who wants to, if you want to try to like approach Elvar and try to figure out what this theme is, anyone who wants to can make a grace check to try to like sneak up.
I'm going to try. Not even close.
Clarifying question.
Yeah.
Do I have to sneak up or can I just walk up?
You could just walk up if you want.
Okay. I'm just going to walk up.
I will say the thing that the fairy godmother warned you of is like first impressions count with Elvar. That doesn't mean they can't be overcome.
You know what? Yep. I'm going to walk up.
Yeah. I feel like Winnie's got, it didn't matter what the rest of it's going on. I think, yeah. I think Winnie's got it.
Winnie's playing a different game. They got this. Right.
Jodin starts like sneaking up along this line, and then all of a sudden you trip over someone's extremely long train of a dress that is octopus themed. You're not entirely sure what they were hoping for with that one. And Winnie, you approach very quickly as everyone around you kind of is like looking at you like, what is this? What theme are they going for?
Yeah.
It's road wearied. Is it road weary?
Is it road weary? She nailed it. The theme is just outside.
The theme is outside. Everyone wear your outside clothes.
Outside clothes, the theme is just outside. No, I'm just, there's zero shame. It's full intentionality. I'm almost judging all of these people that showed up and didn't know the theme because how disrespectful are you? And I'm just going to directly approach. I'm going straight for it.
You walk straight up to Elvar. Everyone else kind of like just parts because no one else is approaching Elvar in this way. Immediately, he kind of like looks you up and down, gives you a very like stern expression. But I think you immediately clock that he does appreciate someone just coming straight up to him. He's just like, oh, I'm not used to this. This isn't the energy I'm usually getting, and it's refreshing.
I'll take that a run.
Yes. How may I help you today?
Good evening. You are Elvar, the renowned guard of the door, correct?
Quite renowned, indeed.
And you see, absolutely snappy, like perfect dress. He's wearing a tuxedo that is like to the nines perfect. He has a very tight white bow tie, and his pocket square is a night sky.
Oh, that is delicious. I'm going to push you for one more piece of information. So, just really fast with that response, Winnie is just going to almost recognize where I am in the feral pecking order here. I am submissive to this particular individual. So it's just going to be a bow, a quick drop of my head, and almost like a step back in recognition that this predator is just higher tier than I am, at least in this moment. And then I want to ask you, what are three things that he smells like?
Wow. You approach, Rihanna. Give this immediate...
Rihanna.
Yes.
You approach, you give this immediate bow and this bit of submission, and you see that this, like, the law of the jungle is very much being applied in this moment. He gives you kind of like a small, curt but respectful nod as you kind of like make the small introduction. He smells... Wow, that's such a good question.
Yeah.
One of the things, he does definitely smell like Rihanna.
Okay, good. That's valid, as he should.
The second thing, he smells like... Wow, I really want to honor this.
Wow, you broke Brian.
I know. This is such a good...
Yes. This is GM on GM crime. I love it.
In the Fey realm, you get this sense of... The first thing you smell, Rihanna.
Okay.
The second thing you smell is a like very light kind of perfume. It's nothing particularly noteworthy, but it is something that is just like pleasant to your nose.
Okay.
And the third thing you smell is not a scent, but as you smell it, it goes into your nostrils and it triggers, rather than scent, it triggers memory.
Oh, God.
And the memory that you get triggered is a night in your youth, laying out over a clear night sky and just looking up and watching shooting stars.
Whoa. Wow, you stuck the landing on that one, honey. Okay.
I got there eventually.
Ooh, no, you stuck the landing on that one with both feet. 10 out of 10 on that one. Okay.
Elvar looks at you and goes,
I see you've not gotten the memo of the dress code for this evening.
No. My name is Princess Winifred Winnie from Golden Falls, and I did not want to disrespect the court or your etiquette by appearing absent the required dress code. So I am here to make that inquiry so that I can come into a compliance and gain an invitation.
Go ahead and roll me a wits check.
Oh, y'all send thoughts and prayers.
And I will grant you advantage on this.
Oh, thank you.
I think you've done a bunch here.
Let's go.
So say, wow. Getting those heart dice ready if we need them.
Whoa. I'm going to take a picture of it. It's a one out the gate.
Yes, let's go.
It's a one.
You see Elvar pulls out a placard, like a card, like a name card, immediately writes your name on it and hands it to you. And it has an invitation. And you see on the invitation has a bunch of information about like, hear ye, your invitation to the Eternal Ball. The theme this year is the celestial sky and constellations above. But he doesn't even give you really time to read that because he looks at you, he pulls the handkerchief out of his own pocket and stuffs it into your pocket. Doesn't even put it anywhere like that is noteworthy, just kind of like puts it to you, stuffs it in a pocket and goes,
I believe that will be fine for you. The Earl King very much appreciates those with spirit. And I believe you have that in spades, my darling.
Winnie doesn't blush, but Winnie is blushing.
He comes in really close. He goes,
tell your friends to get dressed. I'll let you in post-haste.
Gives you a little wink.
I step back with a polite nod, and I'm going to start just stepping away. Always the three steps backwards before you turn your back on an individual of this, you know, magnitude.
As you're stepping away, Amira's like, Winnie, did you get a plus three? What's up? Can we come?
Are we all good?
We're good?
I'm going to turn around and give like a quick snarl, like, I was working on it. But yes, yes. I have the theme, and we have an invitation now, and it covers all of us.
As you run back, you see you are getting dirty looks from everybody along this line who still like didn't hear the conversation of what the theme is. They're like, everyone was trying to get in, all professional eavesdroppers trying to like understand what the theme is. None of them got it. The fairy godmother pulls you guys aside and goes,
all right, you ready for some stars, honeys?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Yeah, Flo.
And for a moment, you see your fairy godmother, as you maybe haven't seen her in some time, do some proper fairy magic. And her fairy magic, she pulls out a star-studded wand. Literally, not a star, like a pointed star like you would see on a child's plaything. Rather, you see a star of the celestial sky stuck to the end of a stick. and she begins to wave it around.
Slow.
All of your baddie outfits become emblazoned with stars and sparkles and constellations and jet black like accents that if you look into for too long, you realize you are looking into infinity.
Oh, these are gorgeous.
I think, Winnie, as the spell kind of goes over you, do you want a transformation to happen? Or in this moment, do you want to stay as you are?
Oh, I'm going to do I'll take a transformation. Winnie can get cute for once.
Hell yeah. What is your bibbidi bobbidi blue light special look like?
So I think the bibbidi bobbidi boo from the bibbidi bobbidi boo special is I actually just get adorned in an all black jumpsuit because of course I'm going to go on all fours at some point. I can't be in a dress. I don't have time for that.
Classic.
So it's an all black, this infinity dark black, just velvety jumpsuit with no stars on it, which feels weird. It doesn't feel on theme. Suddenly I'm out of the kind of like the parameters of expectation, but all of those tattoos that I have all around me, they all begin to glow and the tattoos begin to move on my skin.
Whoa.
As constellations moving on my skin from around like the black jumpsuit.
Oh, that's nice. So how come there's all these little pictures and stuff though, and all the star pictures?
Oh, I'm gonna kill her.
It's like, wow. Cute.
It's so cute.
So cute.
So brave. So brave. So brave. So brave.
Winnie, your transformation is complete with all of these pictures and constellations, and even the pieces of the suit that remain momentarily just that Vanta black, it is a color that draws people in. They want to look closer to see, is there something there? Is there something hidden there? And you guys begin to walk forward through, and as you pass Elvar flashing your invitation, the doors themselves with a smile from this doorman open up, and you are admitted into the Eternal Ball.
As we pass Elvar, I like give him like a little handshake, and I leave the old appointment card from the pixies that I had in his hand.
The appointment card from Queen Gardenia?
Enjoy that tip. That's for you, big guy.
Is this trash?
No. Don't worry. That'll come in handy one day. Enjoy.
He doesn't even know the gift that he holds in his hands.
He doesn't know.
He looks at Winnie and is like, you know, maybe this is worth it. And he just kind of, you see him shove it in his inside breast pocket. Or rather, he pulls out like a business card holder and puts it in the business card holder. And puts
that
it
feels
in.
So valid for him. Yeah. Yeah.
The fairy godmother stops right at the edge and Elvar's arm extends and goes,
Flo, you know the rules. You've got another couple of years.
We send you lots of photos, Flo.
Have a good time, kids.
Oh, I love her.
Love you, Flo.
Have fun.
And the fairy godmother disappears.
Don't make any more. She's gone.
Right. Don't do the. Oh,
straight to Vegas.
Straight to Vegas on that barrel.
You guys enter the first section of the Eternal Ball, which is styled as if it is dawn. Everything around here, the light in this place feels like, you know, that red-orange light just cresting over a hillside. And everything around here is a beautiful garden. People are kind of just, like, milling about. There are many fae walking around, just kind of, like, chattering and gossiping. And you see a number of, like, everyone is dressed to the nines. Everyone is very much in theme. Lots of, like, stars and constellations kind of, like, either in their hair, on their skin, on their jumpsuits and dresses and gowns and suits. There's a couple people with, like, top hats that have just, like, bright stars on top. And you see this gorgeous little area. You see there's a number of fae that are playing. The best you could describe is croquet. But you watch for like even a couple of seconds and it seems like you don't understand the rules of the scoring. And it seems like mostly what they're trying to do is just hit the ball with the most flourish and aplomb as possible.
Oh.
And that seems to be what is scoring in some way. You see in that area, there is one particular like very Prince Charming, just like classic Prince Charming looking guy, like flowing blonde locks. He's got the suit that has like the big kind of like puffs on the shoulders. You see him hit a croquet mallet and then like spin around, does flips, and the ball goes through like a number of wickets in a zigzag pattern, spelling out what seems to be the sigil of his court.
Oh,
okay.
And then a small like round of golf applause. Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, very good.
Very good. Yeah.
And you see near him, there is a a woman who is kind of looking on at him very kind and very like tenderly, and behind that woman is like a kind of like a handmaiden or some kind of mousier woman who's like holding a ledger, like almost like a date book, and is following along a few steps behind. You see a bunch of people as you enter this element of the Fae Ball. What are you guys doing? You see off in the distance there seems to be like another room or section, but each of these sections is like the size of a football field or bigger.
Wow.
This is not just like a small entrance garden. This is massive.
Brian, just on a quick cursory look, does it feel like this ball is completely untouched by the candy curse?
Yeah, I think it is very noteworthy that as you come in here, you see no semblance of the candy curse. I think, Winnie, even with your sense of smell, you smell sweets, but you smell like fae sweets. You're not smelling that very particular smell of that cursed candy.
Wow, they really are out of space and time out here. That could be, I'm thinking to myself, like, that could complicate things if they're not extending sympathy to what's happening outside of their own little mini reality here.
Oh,
sure.
But they have to know about it.
They would have to. So in character, this ball doesn't seem like it's been touched by the curse at all. The pixies, even their food was being compromised in Celine's village. Everyone's dying. Everything here looks vibrant and untouched and completely unmolested by this curse. Can't even smell it here.
Should we ask someone?
Yeah, I'll go ask someone. Adelaide walks in a way in which she like is milliliters away from that butt, just bumping into everybody at every second. Almost like you would wonder if like her lower back is like having a complication. So she walks up to like, there's people like serving drinks and things like that. And is there like a drinks table or like a.
Yeah, there. This seems to be like an opening salvo of what the party is. So you see that there are people like going, like passing around with like silver platters with drinks and stuff. You don't see like a feast or anything laid out. It's all like hors d'oeuvres and small pastas, like apps.
Okay, perfect. So Adelaide kind of looks over and sees one of the servers going up to like a large group. And so she goes to like go blend in with the group and grabs a glass off of the serving tray. And is like thanking the server while also kind of listening in on what everyone there, like what those conversations are. She kind of like tries to blend in with the group.
Adelaide, I've got a little gossip table here.
Hey!
Why don't you roll a d6 for me?
I've never known that I wanted that to be part of a game so badly.
So badly, yeah.
Gossip
yes.
table.
Come gossip on, tea table. Come
every
on, tea
single
table.
Game should have a gossip table.
I agree.
I rolled a 4. What's the 4?
What is that? What's the 411, Brian?
Oh, hey!
There it is.
What's the 411?
What's the 411 from the tea table? You guys are killing tonight.
You see, there's a number of Fae who are talking and chatting about, and you notice that they are looking over at this very handsome, like Prince Charming fellow who is playing this croquet game, and the woman who seems to be looking on kind of like sweetly. And they seem to be like mentioning over there and goes, yeah, I mean, the court of sun and sky has been at odds with the court of moon and stars forever. I wish that Prince Aurelius and Lady Amaris would just hurry up and wed already. Once they do that, this whole problem's going to be solved. It'll be way less weird. You know, we got to join those houses by marriage. That's the only way to solve anything.
Yes, marriage is the solve for everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just for a bunch everything. Of people nodding like, yeah, totally,
and if marriage
totally.
Doesn't solve it, a baby will. Absolutely. That's what I've heard. So yeah, Adelaide is like sipping out of her drink. That drink's done. She goes and like sees like another group that she can go up to. So she's basically kind of like following this tray as it goes, blending in with the groups and then grabbing herself a cute little drink while she's there. So she's now taken in the information about getting these two houses together while she tries to go over to another group to get more info.
So if you want, I will let you roll on this table again. However, you're going to also be spending time in this area, which means you have to roll for a potential wrinkle.
Okay.
Does that sound good to you?
I will do both.
Yes!
Okay,
yes!
Go ahead. You're going to be rolling a, let's call it a D6 here.
A D6. Yeah.
All you got to do is not roll a 1.
4.
Okay. So no wrinkle happens as you guys are spending time here. Go ahead and roll me one more D6 for a little bit more random gossip.
2.
Nice.
Wow, man, the dice tell a story.
Oh, yeah, no. They do.
Guys, the dice tell a story.
Feed us, Brian.
What's the story?
Feed us.
You get close to this Prince Aurelius and Lady Amaris. And as you do, you're maybe like 15, 20 feet away, and you see a number of the other croquet players kind of like come over and are going to like refill their own drinks and are taking sips and like polishing their croquet mallets. You see they're like adding a bunch of like wax to make them like shinier even, like sharpening their croquet mallets to do like weird tricks and stuff. And one of them leans over and goes, "You're never going to believe it." The other one goes, what? Oh my God, I've got the best tea. They look over at Adelaide and they go, "Oh my God, did you hear?"
So Adelaide like looks over, confirms that they're whispering at her because someone trying to pretend, thinking that someone's talking to you when they're not is like her nightmare. So just kind of like confirms that she's like, "Oh, I heard a little bit, but what did you hear? Let's compare versions."
"Oh my God, you'll never believe this. I caught Prince Aurelius swapping love letters. But not with Lady Amaris."
"Shut the front door. Who was he swapping
with?" "I will not."
"Oh, you're so
I
bad.
I will not shut the front door. You're so bad. I'm not going to shut any door."
"You're so bad."
The other Faye next to him just goes like, "Dude, just tell us the story."
Like, dude, what are we doing?
"Let me have
That's
this.
The Winnie of that group."
Every group has one.
Every group deserves a Winnie.
You see, he just like palms his buddy and like pushes him away and goes up to Adelaide now because Adelaide's more interested in the tea and goes,
"I saw him swapping love letters, not with Lady Amaris, but with her handmaiden."
"No, not her handmaiden."
"Yes. Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God.
And they were so saccharine. I had binoculars up on the top of the roof and I was looking down and I read the letter and it was sweet and it was very cute."
"It's read it was so- oh, from the roof."
And you look intense. Up, there is no roof. The columns stretch into infinity. There's just sky.
Oh my God.
Wow. Wow. That's a talent. So he's saccharine. How saccharine was it? Was it like, "Oh my God, I love you so much. Oh my God, I love you so much." Or was it like, "What's up?"
It was a lot of like, "Oh my God, I miss you. Like, can we snuggle buggy in the wuggy, you know, tonight? Because I really want to like get close." It was adding a lot of W's where L's should be.
"Oh my God. Snuggle wuggy in the wuggy. That is amazing.
Listen, don't tell anyone."
"Oh.
Because I want to tell everyone."
"And I would never take that away from you. What was your name?"
"I knew you were going to ask that, so I decided to look it up right now."
"Love that fourth wall, honey."
You know, we have fun here.
"My name is Tristan."
"Tristan. Hello, Tristan. My name is Ads."
"Ads. Yes. Nice. We're going to be best friends."
"We're going to be best friends forever. And also, you need to tell me all about this, like, gossip hiding perch, because that seems like a fun and normal thing to do."
"Oh my God, I'll take you there. It's over in the twilight section. It's overlooking the dance hall." Like, that's where all the real tea happens. This is kind of where like people go to talk about the tea, but you see the tea, like the tea exists in the twilight hall."
"Oh my God, we're best friends forever. Take me to your tea perch."
"Oh my God, let's go."
Grabs you by the hand and starts running you off down the hallway. As everyone else is seeing Adelaide getting carted off by this fae gentleman, what is everyone else doing? Are you following along? Are you staying in this area?
Amira is, she's actually a few drinks deep now. She's by the equine, the equestrian section.
Oh, God.
Sure. And she's like, "These horses suck. I have the best horse. You're never going to believe the horse that I have outside. You couldn't, I guess we could have taken. Anyways, these horses are terrible." And she's like drinking a spaghetti. He's like, "These spaghettis also suck. Tony Spagoosh makes the best spaghettis." "This is ridiculous. You call this a horse?" And she's pointing at a person, like a.
It's fair that she might not know the difference anymore.
Mirish Amir is sauced.
She's sauced right now.
Sauced.
Amir, you were already rolling some
Wait, come on. Hold on.
That's on you, Amira, for forgetting that.
No, it. I think it's maybe worth noting for Amira something that everyone else here might have forgotten, that as you are drinking and eating food from a fey land, you feel your head begin to go a little bit sideways, a little bit spinny.
Wait. Hold on. My innate ability says I'm immune to illness, infection, and poison. And alcohol is a poison.
But is fairy magic?
I don't know.
It's like, that was my best defense.
I liked the confidence that you came with.
Hold on.
I want to reward it.
I don't know.
I will say I have had non-alcoholic spaghettis, so it could
be mocktail versus a spaghetti.
No, but hit me. What are you going to say, Brian? What are you going to say? I'll see if I allow it.
You know what? That was so impertinent. I'm going to give you a pass.
Wow.
I respect it. I respect the confidence.
Let's go.
Look at you.
Something bad might have happened. You will your way through it from the other side of the fourth wall.
Oh, my God.
Amazing.
I'm just going to let that go.
Way to break through, baby. Way to break through.
Amira, you are yelling at a bunch of fey, calling them horses. There is no equestrian section in this section. It is people playing croquet, and you seem to be thinking it is polo. As you are saying that, you are pointing directly at Prince Aurelius, who is easily the most, just, this is fact, is the most perfectly symmetrical face you've ever seen.
That's uncomfortable.
It's just perfect, objectively, everything mirrors exactly, perfectly coiffed everywhere. The whole crowd, as you say this, gasps and goes silent.
What? What'd I say?
After a moment of silence, you hear a titter around as everybody begins to gossip about you.
Sick. Can I roll on the gossip table to find... Someone roll on the gossip table to find out what they're saying about me.
Sure, roll on the gossip table.
No, someone else should. No one's going to tell me.
Actually, Adelaide, as you were running away, I said if you wanted to roll again on the gossip table, you're more than welcome.
Another four. Dang, is this weighted? Another four.
give me another roll.
Yeah.
Another four.
Okay, now I rolled a one.
Hell yeah. As you hear from behind you, there's this all of a sudden massive gasp as something behind you crazy just happened in the garden section. But you can't worry about that because you are scurrying off and entering the feast that is the midday section of this ball. You enter into this massive chamber that is kind of like lit as if it is midday. There's like direct overhead sunlight, and there is a massive table that is easily the length of a football field, stretching out, filled with all kinds of treats and meats and breads and cheeses, and just all displayed in this insane, imagine a champagne tower, but that level of thing with all types of food.
Oh,
they've done a champagne tower for like
a charcuterie tower.
Everything has a tower, and some things have a moat. You know what I mean?
That.
Oh my God.
Is the gravy in a tower or a moat?
The gravy is both a waterfall and a moat.
Oh. Yes, it is.
Amazing. Is the cheese a waterfall or a moat? Okay. That's enough.
Well, there's a liquid cheese that is indeed a waterfall. And then there is actually a mountain of cheese. And you see that there is an animatronic, like, alpiner climbing the mountain of cheese. Oh, and it keeps going up.
That's good.
And then down, and then up, and then down.
Wow. I want this.
I was built for this level of decadence.
Yes, you were.
But as you are running through, Tristan is just, like, giving you a bunch of, like, gossips, kind of, like, pointing out different people to you and, like, kind of telling you what's going on here. And as we kind of like tune into you running through this hall, you're catching glimpses of this stuff, hearing like glimpses of what he's saying about these various people. But the thing that sticks out to you is, oh my God, and the Earl King, he's been doing this ball for so long, but he's so bored that he's making it like about him. You know what I mean? Like, he needs someone to give him a real game. Like, no one's challenged him to a game in forever because he always wins. So of course no one wants to, and they look like an idiot. You can't afford to look like an idiot. That guy is so bored, and he's making it everyone else's problem.
Would it help if he was playing another sport, maybe? Is it the sport that's the problem?
The Earl King's a master of every sport and every game. Now he's all about prop bets.
Oh, Lord.
We know someone he'd love.
Yeah.
Actually, the last time I've seen him excited was he made a prop bet with some fairy godmother to stay on a barrel for 200 years, and that was 198 years ago.
Oh, God. Okay.
So he's been insufferable for a while now.
Okay.
He's been insufferable for a while now.
So all he wants to do is bet because he's out of dopamine and it's the only way he can feel?
Kinda, yeah. I mean, it's a bummer.
I mean, it kind of sounds like maybe it's like a mixture of... like some mental, because that, I mean, boredom is one thing, but this kind of sounds like, is there, you know, like, do the Fae have some kind of like gambling anonymous?
Or... It's not necessarily just gambling.
Would the touch of a human woman help?
Is he lonely?
He's
bored.
We're all like kind of eternal and unaging here, you know what I mean? But he's like even old, like he's old for old, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But he's keeping it tight.
Keep it tight. Gotta keep it tight.
Gotta keep it tight.
Quick question. Shanu, can your character cure diseases?
Yeah.
Is that on your sheet?
Yeah.
Because gambling is technically a disease.
Addiction
if we're doing things
disease.
That are technically a thing,
yeah.
Gambling is technically a disease. I'm just saying, just throwing it out there.
It is. Ennui. I'm also going to say ennui is a disease.
French clarified it as such over 300 years ago.
Adelaide, you are getting the lowdown on the Earl King as you are running through the feast, making your way towards the entrance to the Twilight section. And as you exit the feast area, we're going to flip back to everyone back in Dawn in the garden. Geraldine, Amira, and Winnie, where are you going? What are you doing? Are you moving further on into the ball to follow Adelaide, or are you staying here and chatting with the Fae that you see here?
Does it look like... once you've gained entry to the ball, like you can just sort of free flow through all the different spaces, or does it feel like maybe you need an escort into the next room?
No, you've got all access pass.
Hey.
Winnie, you actually pull out your pass from Elvar, and it actually says Disney's Fast Pass. So you can skip the lines.
There you go.
Amazing.
I don't want to promote Disney. It just says Fast Pass.
It just says Fast Pass.
A PDF of that.
That's good.
Fuck Disney. It just says Fast Pass.
It just says Express Train. Because really, Geraldine wants to play croquet, but she doesn't want to lose Adelaide in all of the madness.
I mean, you get the sense that I think there is stuff to be gained here. You know that ultimately your goal is to get a ring from the Earl King's hand.
Yep.
But this is a, you know, complicated Fae court. Everything is worth exploring. Everything is worth talking to. But if you guys want to find the Earl King first, that's certainly an option.
I think Geraldine sees that Amira is sort of making a scene and that the fairy godmother was very clear about, not just like with Elvar, but with everybody, like impressions and reputation. And Geraldine knows that in like the Fae world, reputation means a lot. So she wants to join the croquet game to do a very like fancy flourished croquet hit, but with the ultimate goal of knocking the, is it a ball? I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, it's a ball.
The ball into Amira's glass, like cup.
My Miller High Life?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I want it to land straight on top.
My Miller High Life in a champagne goblet.
Yeah. It is the champagne.
It is the champagne of beers.
Of beers.
Yeah, you go over, someone very like graciously hands you a croquet mallet, and you see there's a like sparkly pink and silver ball that is placed for you, and Prince Aurelius kind of approaches and goes, "Do you know how to play?"
I think I can take a whack at it.
Jolly good. Go for it.
Now, Brian, I have advantage on virtue tests that involve acrobatics.
Most croquet games would not involve acrobatics.
Mm-hmm.
Fae croquet absolutely involves acrobatics.
Let's
you may
go.
Absolutely take it.
Crofay, yes. Crofay, okay, one might
cool.
say.
Crofay, one might say.
Crofay.
It's the only thing I'm good at. Drink it in, people.
Okay. Oh, what? And I'm rolling grace?
For grace, I
yes.
believe, yes.
Okay. That's a 3.
Oh, good
Huge.
Roll, baby.
You tell me, this is a successful hit. What does it look like as you hit this croquet ball with a flourish and aplomb?
Geraldine does a full, like, ribbon dancer
floor routine with this croquet ballad, or like it's kind of like a baton twirling, like throws it up in the air. There's like an optical illusion where it looks like it's ribbon, and then it looks like it's on fire, and then it's just crazy. And she just does a whole floor routine, and then does a sort of spinning windmill motion for the final hit. And if you will allow it, I will say it arcs beautifully and lands perched straight on top of Amira's Miller Light.
Miller High Life, not Miller Light.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Miller High Life.
Come on.
Come on.
With a shot of Aperol and lemon juice in it. That's a spaghetti, baby.
That's a spaghetti.
I'll be honest.
Put the recipe in the notes, in the show notes.
The whole time, I was just bluffing that I knew what a spaghetti was. I was just, sure.
It's a good drink.
You smack this ball with this ribbon dancer flourish. Everyone is looking at you, and no one really knows what to make of you. There's immediate gossip happening as you approach with a very unconventional stance for what is fairy croquet, and you whack this ball. It goes careening off a number of wickets, going through them, going around them, bouncing around, and then landing, bing!
Whoa.
With a perfect ting of glass on top of Amira's spaghetti. And all around you, the crowd kind of hushes for a moment and then goes,
all right, woo!
You get a very polite golf clap all around. And the prince comes up to you and goes, Miss, that was wonderful. I've never seen such a hit like that. Fabulous. Good show.
Oh, thank you kindly. The name's Princess Geraldine. And over there, my partner in performance, that's Princess Amira.
Oh, Geraldine, look, you met the horse.
Bruh.
Her special skill is comedy.
A comedian.
Yes.
All right, I don't want to play anymore. I'm done.
I'll be sure to introduce her to Finnegan then.
That sounds like a perfect match. There are two other lovely princesses in our gathering, our entourage. Princess Winnie over here and Princess Adelaide, who I seem to have lost track of at the moment.
Well, let me introduce you to my bride-to-be, Lady Amaris of the Court of Moon and Stars. And of course, I am Prince Aurelius of the Court of Sun and Sky. It's a pleasure to meet you, Geraldine.
A pleasure indeed. Congratulations and best wishes to you both.
Lady Amaris kind of looks and goes, thank you very much. That is very kind of you. We are very excited for our big day, which has yet to be determined, but will be coming up shortly.
And just enjoy the engagement. Just enjoy.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, quick look at the hands. Does Aurelius have a gold ring on his hand?
No, Aurelius does not have any like wedding band, nor does Lady Amaris. I think they may have like some decorative rings, but nothing that would symbol like a union has occurred.
Mm. Okay, and nothing that I would pull a string like this as the ring of gold from one of their hands.
No, you know that the ring of gold that you're looking for is specifically from the Earl King.
Oh, okay. I missed that somebody. That's not Aurelius. Got it. Okay.
Correct. This is a particular fey in the court of the Eternal Ball.
Okay.
I think maybe Geraldine does see Winnie, though, like clocking their hands. Does Lady Amaris have a ring on?
She has like she doesn't have any kind of like a wedding ring or anything, but she is wearing like rings and jewelry. All of them are like very star oriented, very much to the theme of the ball.
Okay.
Well, have you started planning or shopping for jewelry? Must be of a particular fun for the Fey royalty, perhaps an heirloom piece.
Yes, we have a number of plans underway. Penny. And she snaps, and this small kind of like mousy girl with a big like planner that you now realize is like wedding planning material, day planning material, all that stuff.
Oh, that poor girl.
Can you please give this wonderful woman a invitation to our nuptials to be? Lady Amaris gives you like a very kind but like final nod, and then kind of moves back to her own party. Penny kind of looks at you and goes,
Hi, yes, name should I put on the invitation?
Princess Geraldine.
Princess Geraldine.
And I'd like to request a plus +3. I believe the invitation was extended to the party. I'll just give you the other name, just in case.
You see a personal assistant who does not know what to do, which is maybe the most scared creature in the whole world. Which is, she looks at you and very kind of politely takes down the additional names in your party, hands you kind of an invitation that's very clearly meant for just you. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes, if you need anything else, I'm at your service. Any invitee of Lady Amorous is a devoted friend of mine.
Well, I don't want to keep you from your post. I know you seem quite devoted in your attention. I wonder if you might tell me where we may pay our respects to the Earl King.
Oh, of course. He is located in the twilight section of the party. The furthest hall down, maybe a 10, 15-minute walk from here. There's a wonderful dance floor. People are dancing all hours. And the Earl King is usually found there. He's quite a big fan of music.
Does he like to boogie?
He likes to boogie oogie all night long.
Oh, that's a king after my own heart. Thank you, Penny.
Looks at you and goes, thank you so much. I must return to my lady. As she walks back to Lady Amorous, you see her cast a glance at Prince Aurelius.
Oh.
And Prince Aurelius cast a glance back at her. And Jody, can you roll me a very important wits check?
Oh, God.
Can. Wait, and so then because we used heart dice to with my baddie potion, do I get advantage on this?
You do get advantage on this.
Yes. Nice. Okay, wits. Both were under. I got a 7 under 12. The other one was a 12 exactly.
Let's go, baby.
You see Prince Aurelius clock Penny. You see Penny clock Prince Aurelius. You see their eyes meet and they have that moment of two people who know each other extremely well across the party saying things with just their eyes. The thing that you clock is Lady Amorous clocking this gaze between the two of them.
Oh. Oh no.
And you are very clear that she already knows and also does not seem to care.
Oh.
Oh my God, a beard.
You see a moment of, in this kind of like slightly curt woman, a moment of recognition, and you see her, I think you see her clock you, clocking this thing. And she then kind of tries to get your attention to get you away from it. You see that she is protecting whatever this coupling is, even though she is betrothed publicly. Or she is to be betrothed publicly.
Whoa. Wait, what is going on?
Okay.
Interesting.
Spicy. I love this.
Geraldine is going to sort of grab each Winnie and Amira like by the arm and start maybe walking toward midday and fill them in.
I saw the most curious glance between all the three parties over there. I think there may be a tryst going on, but also that everyone is okay with it. And it's unclear to me what's happening here.
Classic polycule situation we got going. Let me tell you, horses love polycules.
Amir, does this feel similar to you and Matt at all?
Yeah, big time.
Oh, God. Right on the edge. So close. It's getting close.
So curious. I don't know exactly what's happening with them.
The three of you kind of discuss what could be happening here as you kind of like begin to make your way to the midday feast section of this ball. Midday is like kind of the center section of this thing, which is a massive feast. Everything is a tower or a moat or a waterfall. And there are also a lot of jello molds. You're not sure what that is. That might be a leftover.
Well,
love it. Jello. Classy.
And as you guys begin to enter into the feast, we flip forward to Adelaide. As Adelaide, you get to the end of this feast and you enter a pitch black hallway. This is the first time that you've felt enclosed in the entire time you've been here. Everything else is vaulted ceilings that go on to infinity. This is the first moment where there is a tunnel. You can't see the roof, but it is so dark that you just assume there's something there. And as you are walking through hand in hand with Tristan, you see a pinprick of light in front of you. And as that light gets a little bit bigger, the darkness around you begins to fill slowly with one star and then two stars and then 10. And then constellations fill around you as the closer you get to twilight, the more stars and constellations appear. And by the time you emerge from this dark tunnel, you are now surrounded entirely by a massive black and white, like chessboard dance floor, covered entirely by a dome of stars and constellations and moonlight.
Damn. Wow.
Wow.
Got budget.
This is gorgeous. I don't know why people keep doing all these weird shapes with the stars, but it's so pretty.
Never change. Literally, never change, never evolve from this moment.
We just live here.
Just stay here. Just stay right there.
That's
babe.
The end of the season, folks.
Bang. And Adelaide, at the far end of this hall, you see there is a grand throne that is maybe the first thing in this entire room or this entire festivity that isn't necessarily decorated to theme. It is a golden, shining throne on a dais that has like one of those very tall backs. And sitting on that throne, you can see from here, is a gorgeous fey man who, rather than sitting at attention, is sitting with his back on one of the arms and his legs over top one of the other arms.
Of course.
In like a very lazed back pose. I know that this is an audio medium, but one of my favorite things in the book Sweet Revenge is the artwork for the Earl King.
Nice. Oh, show us.
Adelaide, you look and you see the Earl King lazed over on a throne of gold, and this is the figure you see.
No.
They did.
No. They shut the front door.
No way.
Undefeated.
Shall I describe him or shall you?
Please, Adelaide, describe who you see on this throne.
Mm-hmm.
I see on this throne, I only see a portrait, but I'm going to use context clues to assume this is a slight man with at least an extra 2 or 3 inches added via a gorgeous, gorgeous heel. I'm going to say probably about 5'5" of pure funkiness. Is the skin tone the same on here as it is from what I'm...
Yeah.
Or is the same here? So this man is adorned in various shades from hair to skin to clothing of purple, like a lilac or like a purple. His curls are juicy and popping. He wears a knowing smirk, which occasionally turns into a beautiful pout. There's a very distinct frill from inside his very tailored purple blazer. Anywhere else in the world, this would be a very distinct style from the 80s, but we're in fake Feyland, so it kind of blends in and feels normal, but it does feel like a very fancy dandy lad. If this area, if I guess we would call this the Minneapolis of, of this area.
Let's go.
Not a prince, but an Earl King, and that doesn't make him any funkier, less funky.
Yes. That's very beautifully good. Done.
You see the Earl King, the exact visage of Fey Prince. The pop star to end all pop stars.
So good.
He plays every instrument.
So good.
He played every...
Plays all every
of
instrument.
Them. All of them on the album.
And is a master at ping pong.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
For real?
Oh. Yeah.
In the space between you and Prince... you and the Earl King.
Me and Earl Prince.
You and Earl Prince. Prince.
You and the Earl Prince, yes.
I really can't emphasize just how great this illustration is. It's worth looking at the book just for this.
It's so brilliant.
You see the Earl King, even from this distance, across a maze of people dancing in beautiful menageries and patterns and like synchronized dances across a long, massive black and white checkered dance floor. You see a person who looks extremely and thoroughly bored.
At that moment, Adelaide does wish there was like a way that she was able to like catch the prince's eye she is wearing the required lack of clothing that she thinks would might do the job. And she is also, while clearly a black woman, is racially ambiguous enough that she might be able to attract him. So Adelaide turns to Tristan and says, "So that's the Earl."
Oh, yeah. He pulls out a fan for you and just kind of gives it to you.
Yeah, he kind of has that effect on everyone.
Adelaide is fanning like no one has ever fanned before. Bosoms have never heaved the way they are currently heaving.
Yes.
You see your hair is just like billowing behind you. Someone walks behind you and then gets like blown back a little bit. Jesus.
Yes. Yes. The fan gives the hair the slow motion air out effect for sure.
Yes.
Yes.
You see all around you, there are women who are doing like similar things. There is this one woman who has just like massive hair, a big flower in her hair that has like, you know, sun, it's like sun and moon kind of thing going to it. Also heaving bosoms.
The art
for this woman, that's the only way to describe it.
She also has art, yes.
Oh damn.
Damn.
So you see a number of women, many of them are, there's a number of people who are like showing off for the Earl King, trying to get his attention. There are people who seem to be like members of the court who seem to not care and seem very aloof. But throughout this, there's this massive dance going on. Adelaide, if you want to try to get the attention of the Earl King, there's a long dance hall between you and he. But also, yeah, I mean, you tell me, how would you like to get the attention of the Earl King?
Jeez, I think the best way to get the attention of the Earl King would just be Adelaide walks up through kind of the crowd of horny onlookers, and as she does, she uses her new ability. We leveled up during the last episode, and Adelaide now has the ability of shatter. Does the Earl have a glass in his hand?
Of course the Earl has a glass in his hand.
Adelaide opens her mouth and reaches a pitch which is focused so that it doesn't break any of the other glass or glassware in the place. Ooh. It is zeroed in, so it is just to break the glass that is in the Earl's hand.
You better work. Let's go.
Yes.
What do you have to do for this ability?
So this is, for this is one of my special abilities. Mm-hmm. And so it's shatter. You hit the perfect resonating high note. Any glass, crystal, or other brittle objects between this area crack and shatter. But because I think I have, because I passed that witch check, that means I get advantage, right? On like wits and stuff.
That's true.
So I am going to use this so it only affects the glass that the prince, or damn it, that the Earl is holding.
Okay. Since you're using this ability in a very specific way, you're not trying to like affect anybody. I want you to roll your gift dice.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either roll one gift dice or two. For one gift dice, you'll have a certain level effect. Two gift dice, you'll have a greater effect.
Okay. Okay. And the gift dice is... Okay.
Oh, those are your D6s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can I roll them one at a time?
Yeah, roll one at a time.
Okay. I rolled a 5.
Nice.
Okay.
Woo!
Big.
Do you want to roll a second?
If I roll a second, so... Because if I roll a second and it doesn't work, then I've lost that gift dice, right? Until we rest up.
So because you're using this in an interesting way, this effect is going to work. It's going to be kind of like, I'm going to scale it based on what the sum of the dice total
is. Okay. Oh, okay.
So because you rolled a 5 on that die, you will expend that die. So now you only have one gift die left until you have a long rest. So if you want to save it, you can. Or if you want to like kind of roll the dice you can to try to get an even better effect.
I'm going to do it. I'm rolling the dice. A 3. Okay, so it helps, but I still get that dice.
Yes.
With an 8 total, you keep that dice. One of your gift dice is expended. As you look out over the crowd of onlookers and dancers, all doing their best, showing off, trying to woo the Earl King, get his attention, just create a moment of magic as you hit that pitch so high that even these fae cannot hear it. And you can almost, it is so high that it almost manifests physically as a beam of light going from your mouth across the dance hall, going directly through all of these dancers, them diving out of the way of it. And then,
bing,
You see it just tap the Earl King's glass, and the glass explodes around him, forming this corona for a moment as you see the Earl King framed in broken glass. He looks to you across the hall, his face surrounded by the shattered glass. In a moment, sees you through the crowd. The crowd stops. The Earl King stands. Oh, hello.
Adelaide does the most exaggerated sexy lip biting like you've ever seen. I'm really desperately for this chapter going to need everyone to have an encyclopedic knowledge of Purple Rain and Graffiti Bridge that I do, or you're not going to get through this.
Or you're not going to get through this.
But so yeah, so Adelaide just like bites her lip in like the most exaggerated way, and then looks at the Earl King, turns on her heel, and walks out of the room.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Work.
Yes. Oh my God. I thought you were going to ask for a +3, dude.
Work.
Adelaide's
queen.
Got better moves than that.
I took the baddie potion. This is baddie shit.
That is some baddie shit.
It really is.
As you turn on your heels, you see your heels themselves sprout thorns along the side. You walk out as Tristan is going, What are you doing? He looked at you. You walk out. The entire crowd goes quiet. And from behind you, you hear a sound that everyone in the entire world wishes they would hear. You hear the sound of the Earl King following you.
Wow!
And that is where we'll end this episode of My First Dungeon.
Yeah.
Thank you, Baddie Potion.
Baddie Potion, buddy. Woo. Oh, I love it.
Adelaide.
Oh, love
Tune
it.
Tune in next week to see just how bad we can get. And remember, everybody, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Go be your best baddie self.
Go be your best baddie self.
Honey.
However that manifests.
Turn down for no one.
Hell yeah. Turn down for no one.
It's my favorite remix of this.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is one of our favorite online game stores and offers a curated selection of indie tabletop RPGs and solo games delivered to you with care. Use code PERIL15 to get 15% off of Perils and Princesses, Sweet Revenge, or any other game at tabletopbookshelf.com. This episode features the voice talents of Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Bridget Jeffries, Danielle Radford, and Chinook Tissera. Editing and sound design by Jay Stroutman. This episode features a theme song and some original music by Behold. Additional music and sound effects provided by Artlist.io. My First Dungeon is a many-sided media production. If you want even more My First Dungeon, join our Patreon to get access to the cast talkback for this episode, which sounds a little something like this.
Yeah. And then more butt. I can't stress enough.
I'm so sorry. I shortchanged the butt.
I did add just a, not like a grotesque amount of cake, but you see it.
Some layers were added, you know.
A solid slice.
In the bosom.
Mm-hmm. Look, the thighs match, so you know it's real. The baddie potion knows to make the thighs match.
And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.